You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Monday, the 15th of September. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the Australian share market closed 0.13% lower. I'll have a bit more on that a little later with Martin Lakos. But first, almost a week after announcing thousands of job cuts, ANZ has found itself back in the headlines, this time accused by the corporate regulator, ASIC, of widespread misconduct and hit with a $240 million fine. The allegations include mishandling a bond sale, which potentially cost the federal government $26 million, as well as failing to respond to customer hardship notices, not paying promised savings interest rates, and failing to refund fees that were charged to thousands of dead customers. For more, SBS World News reporter Asha Abdi spoke with Professor Alan Fells from the University of Melbourne.
So what do you make of today's release?
Regarding the bond interest rate offences, we all pay for that. They're the way that we fund schools and hospitals, and the higher interest rates mean we have fewer schools and hospitals. So it's very harmful to the public as a whole. The treatment of consumers looks extremely bad. The fact that it is unconscionable conduct indicates how seriously bad the conduct is. This is not just somewhat misleading conduct. It is unconscionable conduct, the worst form of behaviour. And to charge dead people, to shun hardship requests, to mislead people into thinking they're going to get bonuses when they don't, are amongst the worst forms of consumer misbehaviour, and they deserve the highest penalties. I hope the huge sackings and cost cuttings at the ANZ Bank don't include cutting back on the people, the compliance people, who are there to make sure they observe the law. We need big fines to make big banks comply with the law.
This comes 8 years after the Royal Commission. What's the state of the industry now, like in terms of taking on those recommendations and improving?
Many of us at the time of the Royal Commission feared that the banks would temporarily pull up their socks, but after 3 or 4 years, they'd lapse to their old ways, and this is a sign of it now.
So I take it things haven't improved.
The ANZ seems to be back where we started before the Royal Commission.
You sort of mentioned fines being able to deter this kind of behaviour, but ASIC has, on multiple occasions this year, fined banks. Is there more that can be done to deter it?
I'm not convinced that a fine of $240 million to a bank making billions in profits is enough. I wonder if it shouldn't be significantly higher, and I hope the judge will look at that question.
That was Asha Abdi speaking with Professor Alan Fells. To the ASX 200, which has closed 0.13% lower. Despite that, 7 of the 11 sectors ended in the black, led by energy stocks. For more, I spoke with Macquarie Private Bank Division Director Martin Lakos.
We certainly were down early this morning on weaker Dow Jones index. But of course, what we did see, of course, is that within the US, the S&P 500, the broader index, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ continue to rally pretty strongly. And so that gave us a lead this morning. What has been interesting is that our market, although still negative, has recovered some of those early morning losses. And that's despite the fact that we've seen some negative or certainly worse than expected economic data coming out of China. Now, it's really interesting to be watching both the US market and our own, because they're certainly showing some degrees of resilience. And we guess that there is some expectations of both further interest rate cuts in the US this week and possibly one here in Australia in November. That's Macquarie's view. But equally so, we're also seeing that earnings have been better than anticipated as well, both in the US and here in Australia. So that's certainly assisting market sentiment at this stage.
So, despite the sea of red on the ASX today, equities remain around record highs. So, too, gold prices and the Australian dollar ahead of hopes of the US rate cut this week. Do we expect those records to continue, especially amid weak job figures in the US, as well as weak economic growth in the US and China?
Yeah, look, we're certainly approaching the markets a lot more cautiously now, given the rally that we've had. But it's hard to see that the rally is not going to continue for a little while longer while we've got ahead of us potentially rate cuts out of the United States Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, that meets later this week. And of course, some of the key drivers is the fact that although we're seeing weaker labor market numbers in the US, and that's to some extent allowing the central bank in the US to cut rates, we are starting to see economic growth resilience. So the economic forecasts for the US economy to pick up towards 3.3%. So given that resilience, it's really hard to see significant downside. Having said that, we do see some corrections, and corrections or pullbacks are fairly common in markets, and so we'd be expecting to see some sort of cooling of markets going down the track. But there's absolutely no doubt with the high levels of risks that we're currently seeing around the world, and also what we've been seeing from an economic perspective, say for China, we are approaching things cautiously but optimistically. I guess domestically for the Australian market, when we look back at that reporting season, which definitely beat expectations, the industrials in particular had earnings growth expectations better than the market was anticipating. That's going to continue to see some upward momentum in revisions, and that's always a powerful momentum driver of the Australian equity market. We do think that with lower interest rates in Australia, that's also going to support the mid-cap to the small-cap space in the Australian market. And there's absolutely no doubt that liquidity is holding up markets as well. Having said all that, I have to just reemphasize, we are cautious but cautiously optimistic.
So, what are you telling your customers right now, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Well, we certainly over the last 12 months have been moving or recommending to move investors' exposures away from direct global market exposures into alternative assets. So the alternative assets are things like infrastructure, for example, private equity, for example, some hedge funds, for example. And so we've been over time increasing those exposures to give some degree of hedge against the risks and potential volatility. And we can't argue that, despite the fact that markets have run pretty hard, when you look at, for example, at the volatility index, otherwise known as the VIX index, volatility has been increasing. And we expect that volatility to continue to increase. So that's a part of our cautiously optimistic approach, where we are able to hedge out some of that volatility by having exposures to very good assets that you can hold over the long term that are reducing the total global market exposure. And that's what we've been recommending to clients.
That was Martin Lakos from Macquarie Private Bank.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.